Hello and welcome to episode 249 of Laps Gamer Radio. I'm your host, Mark, and I'm joined by almost a full house. We've got Nick, Chazzy, and Andy here tonight. Gentlemen, how are you doing?
Hello.
Hey-o.
All good.
All good, yep. Well, but there.
Yeah. Good, excellent. Good to hear it. Andy, what did you have for dinner?
Pasta and gammon in a creamy sauce.
In a creamy sauce.
Okay. Gammony carbonara.
Yeah.
There but we're the episode title sorted.
That's it. With a tin of tomatoes.
Gammarana.
That's it.
Very tasty. So we're just saying that because like, we had to delay start recording because Andy was eating his dinner.
Can I just object?
Object of what?
Well, it's quite clearly tea.
It's dinner.
North-South divide right here. Although Andy is further north than I am.
Exactly. He's more north.
I'm more north, so it's Leeds. So it's dinner. I call it dinner. Tea.
Why? Tea. Yeah, it's tea.
It's not tea.
You have dinner ladies.
No, tea is like a brown liquid that you drink.
Exactly.
It's also the evening meal of the day.
No.
That's dinner.
We're never going to agree on this, so...
No, we're not. We had this discussion before.
It's really, really annoying as well because...
Honestly, this podcast so many times almost like felt like it was devolving into a Peter Kay skit. Is it tea or dinner?
Clearly tea. My favourite... cookbook author Mira Soda, she has announced her new cookbook, which is coming out in August, and it's called Dinner. It's literally
not
just
tea.
Called Dinner.
Not tea.
Yeah.
And it's about tea.
Yeah.
It's about dinner.
It's dinner.
It's about tea.
It treats if it was about tea, it would be a book about, you know, Darjeeling and Earl Grey and green, jasmine.
Yeah. Mint. Fruit teas.
Mm-hmm.
Rooibos.
Yeah. Yep.
So anyway, video games.
Video games.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Are we here to talk about video games?
We are here to talk about video games. Has there been any news since the last time we talked?
Yeah, I got some news.
You got some news? Okay.
I got some news.
To the news minds.
Oh, have you all seen the trailer for the Fallout show yet?
Yes.
No.
It looks expensive.
Mm. Should we watch it live?
But it does have Walton Falcons in.
Should we watch it? Okay, so everybody, if you want to watch the Fallout trailer with us, just sync up here and
All zero of
it. What are you going to do? You're going to pop it in the window?
Oh, you want me to do it?
Sure.
Okay, I will do it. Fallout TV show trailer?
Yes.
When did it come out? 7 hours ago. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
Stop. Pause. All right. Share your screen. Fallout official trailer. Go live. Can you all see this?
Go live.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Live. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's go.
There is my boy Walton Goggins.
Yeah. I'm here to show you a wonderful place.
Walt.
Yeah. A veritable Camelot. The nuclear age. Not made by God Almighty, but...
So this is all pre...
I think that's Carl McLaughlin.
That's Carl McLaughlin.
You can be a hero by purchasing a residence in a Vault-Tec vault today. Because if the worst should happen tomorrow, the world is going to need you to build a better day after.
Oh, what's he from?
He's definitely
from The Shield.
That's Walton Goggins. He's from lots of really good things.
Oh, yeah.
He's amazing. He's in... what was the Tarantino film about the cowboys?
Django. No,
the other one.
The one with Samuel.
Kurt Russell. Hateful Eight.
Hateful Eight.
Holy shit. You're an actual vault dweller.
I am. I thought all you dipshits were dead.
Love it. I mean, they've got the look and feel. Absolutely no.
Christopher Nolan's brother.
It isn't like the vault out there. It's big.
Interesting, they've sent it around a female Vault Dweller.
Oh, that's good.
I've had a rough week. Practically every person I've met up here has tried to kill me.
I'm simply going to harvest your offer.
That's Matt Berry. That's Matt Berry.
Yes.
You need to go home. You come from a world of rules, of laws. You should not be alone.
Fuck the Brotherhood of Steel.
Why did you join the Brotherhood?
No one likes the Brotherhood of Steel.
No.
People are going to come after you.
Ain't much stage cleanup here, Vaulty.
Is that the dude from Fallout 4?
Well, now that is a very small drop in a very, very large bucket of drugs.
It's the guy from the beginning of the trailer.
Yeah.
Obviously, he didn't make it into a vault. Oh, McLaughlin!
Look out at this wasteland. Looks like chaos. But there's always somebody behind the wheel.
Is that a bear?
Yep, that was a bear.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone wants to save the world, they disagree on how.
There you
I hope
are.
It jumps backwards and forwards in time, little killer. To pre and post.
Mm-hmm. But it's enough, like, pre-stuff in there.
April 11th, wow.
Next nice, month. That's soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it looks... thematically, like, it looks like they nailed the look.
Yeah.
It's just like they nailed, like, the vibe, like the feel.
Mm. Definitely.
There seems to be enough in the trailer that makes it look like there's going to be enough like a good amount of humor, which is what it needs.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm more hyped for this TV show than I am for any Fallout game for a long time.
Yeah, sure. Because the TV show's not going to, like, bug out and crash, and the characters aren't going to start T-posing.
Glitching, yeah. Glitching to the floor.
Although, if they threw it in as an Easter egg, that'd be very funny.
That'd be very funny. It'd be good.
They just have a character, like, sort of, like, crouching and crab clawing in the corner, and they go, like, what's his deal? And they're like, no one knows. He's been doing that for hours.
If they did the camera pan to just someone staring at them directly straight onwards.
Yeah,
to
like this.
Deliver their dialogue. Just once, that'd be hilarious. With the lifeless.
If it takes off and it's successful, then I don't know. Maybe we'll get Elder Scrolls TV show as well. Oh, that seems like a no-brainer, right? Yeah. Given how popular Game of Thrones was, and
that looks really expensive. They do need to make a success out of it.
Amazon don't care.
Yeah,
do
like
they need content.
They made Rings of Power is the most expensive TV show ever made.
Yeah, I was going to say the Lord of the Rings one was mega books.
Mm-hmm. It's like it was a ridiculous amount. I think the first season cost $1 billion to make.
Yeah, but that includes rights, doesn't it?
Like, yeah, I think so. But Jeff Bezos doesn't.
No.
Come on. He's not short of a bob or two.
Not very positive.
Yeah, looks all right.
Looks good.
I'll watch it. I've got Prime, so... might as well.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been any more news, really. I think, thankfully, there hasn't been any more layoffs since the last episode that we talked
about. Are you sure about that?
Well, it's Sony last week. Sony was last week.
I think we talked... Was Sony last week or the week before?
Sony was last week.
I can't remember. Yeah. I can't remember whether we talked about it or not. We might not have, actually.
No, we didn't. I don't think we...
Yeah, a lot of layoffs at PlayStation. The entire complete closure of London Studio just like a week after Jim Ryan had been out there. So he's doing a tour of all the studios before he walks out the door.
Mm.
Yep.
And he went out to London Studio and took photos and shook people's hands and glad-handed and whatnot, and then fucked off. And then a week later, closed the studio and laid everybody off. So
fabulous.
Did
we talk about...
There were some big, something like 90 people lost their jobs at the Until Dawn.
Supermassive.
Developers as well.
Yeah,
Supermassive, mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was, did we talk about Zaum?
We didn't talk about Zaum, no.
24 people laid off there.
Yeah.
Which is EA laid a shit ton off.
Oh, yeah, EA did.
EA laid a shitload of people off and then closed, shuttered the development on the Star Wars first-person shooter, Bounty Hunter first-person shooter, yeah. Remedy. Like, one of the best developers of a first-person shooter like that's going. Shuttered it and then said, we don't see our future being in licensed video games because we don't make enough money. Well, that's kind of a problem because, like, everything they've got coming out in the foreseeable future that isn't a sports game is a licensed video game for one of, you know, a handful of Disney IP. So, good one.
Yeah. So currently, the Kotaku megathread currently has at least 8,177 people.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah, it's already blown past.
It's blown past the entirety. Yeah.
Yeah, the entirety of last year's in 3 months. Madness.
The only other bit of news I saw was the former Destiny and Halo composer Marty O'Donnell is running for Congress in Arizona or New Mexico, wherever the fuck he lives, one of those desert states. He's running as a Republican because I guess he's a Republican, which is disappointing. And he's coming under fire from people already because, like, his platform is... Vote for me. I did the Halo music. That's it. That's his entire thing.
We'll
ask him to outline what his policies would be. What his platform is. What he's running on. And he couldn't name anything apart from just, like, you know, the usual Republican stuff, like, oh, close the border, blah blah blah, lower taxes, the stuff that all of the other Republicans who are already established politicians that he's running against in the primary. I think he's just solely hoping that people will vote for me because I made the Halo theme tune.
I'm not really sure that, like, the core Republican demographic will understand what the Halo theme tune is.
You might come into it.
I don't think most people who played Halo will know who Marty O'Donnell is.
No.
Either.
They'll know the music. If he uses the music during his things, but then he's probably not allowed to because it's owned by Bungie and Microsoft.
Exactly.
Well, it's owned by Microsoft, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Weird.
It's all very funny. I can't think of any other real.
Oh, Toys for Bob. They went independent.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Good point. Yep. Which is really good. They're still going to be partnering with Microsoft. But it means that they will be immune from the Microsoft's, like, wheeling of the blade. They've laid off 1,800 people across the gaming division so far this year. Mm-hmm. So probably a good idea to get the fuck out of there. We'll talk about it when we come to talk about the game, because there's a couple of other. There's a couple of news stories pertaining to games that we're probably going to be talking about tonight, so I'll sit on those. Should we get chatting about video games, or is there any? You got anything else, Nick?
I was just going to say about Ghost of Tsushima.
Oh yeah,
PC
coming to PC.
Cool! I can finally play it.
Yay! I can play it again and play the DLC, and hopefully it plays well on the Steam Deck.
The launch press release specifically said something about playing on high-end PCs and portable gaming PCs, which basically saying it's definitely going to be Steam Deck verified. Because why wouldn't it be?
Spider-Man. Yeah, I played Miles Morales on the Steam Deck.
Yeah, and it's
at a
solid
45.
Who is it? Is it Nexus or Nixies?
Nixies.
Their ports are pretty solid.
Yep, for sure.
Nice.
All right, talk about video games. Andy, it's been a little while.
Yes, it has.
What have you been playing?
Quite a bit. So, continuing games are Stolt Bard's Tale 2, Phoenix Rising, nothing really much to report from them, and being on the Legends of Van Helsing, got onto the final boss of that. But it was about 3 o'clock in the morning, so me and my brother said it's a bit we were a bit tired at that point, so we left it there, so that's going to be complete soon. In terms of new games played, I wanted to fancy a bit of a change. So I fancy a bit of an FPS game, I fancy a bit of World War II, and I stepped into Battlefield 5.
Okay. Yeah. I thought, like, when you say that you've started something new, usually that means I'm playing something from the PlayStation 2 or something like that. You're going to say, like, I'm playing this hot new first-person shooter game. It's called Medal of Honor Airborne. That game was
fucking... That was a good game. Good.
It was a good game.
It was real good.
Yeah. Not that far back with this one.
I'm playing Brothers in Arms.
Are you playing that? Did you get copies of
that? I was actually playing that not that long ago. That was... Yeah, you can get them on PC. I was playing that not long ago. It's still... That series still holds up. It's really good. If you want, like a proper Band of Brothers vibe, like, it's the closest thing you can get.
I might have to pick up that up. I know there's some on the PS2. I think there's one on the PS3. Might have to...
I think they were all on the PS2, I think. Well, the main trilogy was all on PS2, I think.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure there was one on...
Anyway, sorry. Anyway. I'm distracting you.
It's all right.
Battlefield 5.
It's all right. Battlefield 5. Yeah, I only wanted to play, really, the campaign. The Battlefield 5 campaign is not a continuous story. There are just five what we'll call vignettes of
individual
stories. Yeah,
it's the same in Battlefield 1 as well.
Yeah. But I was really impressed with the campaign in this. You know, how much... detail and feeling we get into these little essentially levels of game. One of them, if I remember rightly, you are a Nazi tank commander. You are defending.
Yeah, that was the best one. The last Tiger.
Yeah, but basically the Tiger was the indestructible tank, but they only had a few thousand. Well, about 1,000 something said, while the Americans, the Sherman, was about 55,000. They just had so many tanks, we just outnumbered them. But yeah, just for the level of detail and the level of the stories, you know, and you're sort of like, I want this to continue, and then it just sort of ends, and that's it. The first one is... You're set, I think it's the SBS, isn't it? Special Boat Service. Like a young recruit into that, and sort of plays around like the Malta region, or Africa region. That was okay. The Norwegian one, I thought, was probably my favourite, where you play as the daughter of... a woman who's been captured by the Nazis. That was an outstanding. I can't remember the other two. But the overall, it's just an excellent campaign. And my feeling was, right, I'm just going to play through this campaign and then I'm just going to get rid of a game. I thought, right, it's just, you know. But I've actually gone, well, I'm going to keep this actually because I quite fancy playing some of these levels again. You forget how good DICE are doing a campaign. Then it just triggered me back into thinking about Bad Company and Bad Company 2. And then I went out and got those on PS3. So I'm going to give those a go. But they really crafted an unbelievable set of vignettes within Battlefield 5. Graphics, outstanding. The Norwegian level, the level of snow, it's an unbelievable game. Highly, highly recommended. I went on a bit of a multiplayer. I only had one game. Got killed a lot and then just went, very good. That was about it.
I really didn't jive with the multiplayer in Battlefield 5. The stories, as they call them, were really, really good. Much better than I thought the ones in Battlefield 1 were. And the ones in Battlefield 1 were fine. They were decent enough. But the multiplayer in Battlefield 1 was way more engaging, I thought, than in 5. Battlefield 5 was a bit of a misfire overall. Like, I'd have been quite happy if they concentrated more on the single player, but that's not why people buy these games anymore, and that's why Battlefield 2042 or whatever, 2043, whatever it's called, doesn't have a campaign at all.
It's a shame.
It kind of sucks.
Yeah, it is a shame.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Because we can craft it, we can really... I'd like to see them tackle a long linear story or something, because I think we can really, whoever writes Fair or whoever got to write Battlefield 5, those little vignettes, I'd like to see him to tackle a bit of a longer one rather than just a multiplayer. But like I said, where's the money and where's the target audience?
Unfortunately, the campaign for not the last World War II Call of Duty, but the one before that. I think it was the one that was literally just called Battlefield, Call of Duty World War II. Had really, really, really good campaign. One of the levels in it actually ended up in Game Maker's Toolkit's like favorite levels of the year that year.
Okay.
I didn't play Vanguard, but that Call of You've had a really good campaign in it. There's not that many modern World War II based shooters that have a good campaign anymore, I'm afraid. If you want a good multiplayer shooter set in World War II, albeit like one that is incredibly hard to get into and is not not easy, there's Hell Let Loose.
All right.
Yeah, I've seen videos,
which is like, it's like World War II armor. You don't have like ammo counters and a mini map and stuff like that on the screen. Most of the time, you'll end up getting killed by something, an enemy that you didn't even know was there. It's like, it's super hardcore. Like it like way more hardcore than like.
Yeah, it's like a sim first person shooter, isn't it?
Yeah, like a World War II first person shooter sim. Yeah. It's on Game Pass at the moment, I want to say. It was given away free on PS Plus a while ago. So if you've just been grabbing games on that, you might have it in your library.
Nice. I'll have to give you that a go. So that's been really the main game completed. And then me and Francis decided to play a Harry Potter game. And we played, do you remember Wonderbook on the PS3?
Yeah, well, I remember watching the E3 where it was unveiled at like 3 o'clock in the morning in a delirious state, thinking that I was on some weird kind of trip.
Was that the PlayStation Move game?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am the Move. And you had a book with it as well, I seem to remember.
Yeah.
It did spells.
Yeah. So, with each game, I bought this years ago, I got when it was cheap. So, we played the Book of Spells. It's Miranda something, the Book of Spells set in the Harry Potter universe. And with each Wonderbook game or with the pack, you got a Wonderbook. So, I think I've got about 3 or 4 of these things somewhere. Found one, and luckily enough, but not, you can use them with any game. Essentially, you set it up. You get the Move controller out, calibrate that with the PlayStation camera, and it's really, really good. So this Book of Spells takes you through different spells, and you learn a lot of the famous Harry Potter spells, like I can't remember the stun spell, the one that gets rid of all the Dementors.
Patronus Charm.
All these different levels of spells you go through, and each one's got a little story with it. It's very much interactive. Your move on the screen becomes a wand, so you have to decide what your wand is going to be and what it looks like. And you sort of like, when the camera's looking at the book has got like pictures and you're having to brush things off it, and there's a little gold little trail on it, and you sort of like hit your move onto the trail, lift it up like you would do a spell, and a story appears, and you have to move your wand in certain directions to cast the spell. And then in certain parts of the game, it'll sort of move you out in the background, and you're like in an oval shape looking into the world like a gaming level. There was one where you're having to fight werewolves, another one you're having to fight dementors, another one you're having to fight wizards. It's just really, really interactive. 5 chapters, so it doesn't take long. But she really did enjoy it, you know. Casting all these spells everywhere. One of them's a water spell where you're washing the screen. She just had great fun pretending to, you know, wash me and a sister and everybody, and you know, and little snakes would come into the screen and go off, and she's like, maybe there's a snake in the room. Just the level of tech that was involved was really impressive. So we completed that, and then we started walking with dinosaurs. We were not walking with dinosaurs one, she wanted to start. She prefers Harry Potter. But funnily enough, my youngest, Una, now wants to play the dinosaur one, so we're playing through that one together. And that sort of links in with the film, and you can do x-rays on it, help the dinosaur. You can shout, and the camera will pick up your voice, and the dinosaur will come. Really, really, really well done and interactive. So we're just playing through those at the moment. We're also playing through a game called Medieval Moves on the PS3. That's using the Move controller, where you play as a young prince who got turned into a skeleton, and you're having to fight skeletons with using a Move controller as a sword, and then you can use it as a shield, and then you can use it as a bow and arrow. So all the moves, we're really enjoying that. I've played it as well. It's very tiring, yeah. I sort of like watch it with my daughter. We watch my daughter doing it, and she gets a bit tired after fighting all these skeletons. But those 3 games, yeah, really good. Recommended in terms of if you can get a cheap Wonder Book and if you've got a PS3, very interactive, especially for kids my age. And the other 2 games are classics of. Sometimes I'm playing at like 2 o'clock in the morning, or just come up and, you know, I just want 10-15 minutes, just play something. So I downloaded on the PS4 Namco Classics, and these were, and I don't know, I discovered, and I've never played these before, Galaga and Galaxian, and I've just been playing through those. Perfect ports, really.
I've never played Galaxian, but I played Galaga before.
Yeah. You know, perfect parts of these games. And they come with a little rewind function. So if you die, you just rewind it. Cool. You know, see, and one of them, I haven't checked one of, I know, is it Galaga? I think it's the first one. Galaga has about 350 levels to it, but it never ends. It just ends on, it just keeps looping. Galaxian is a bit more of a faster one, becomes a bit more harder, the aliens do a little bit more, but it's just while away 10 minutes before I go to bed, you know, shoot some aliens and dodge a bit, get killed, rewind it, I save it. So I'm just having a little bit of fun, and yeah, that's about it.
Okay, excellent. Nice little collection of games there. Chazzy.
Hello.
What have you been playing?
It's been a bit quiet. Just been messing about with the Steam Deck and stuff on that. So I got right into Split Second.
Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
Wow. Right back. That's a throwback.
Exactly. Yeah. I was actually trying to look for, trying to see if I could play Blur, but because that popped into my head the other day, then I couldn't get hold of my copy in the loft and thought, the servers are down. I know what I'll do. I'll play Split Second instead, and it's been incredible. It's just such a good, like, arcade driving, like, driving game, like, racing game. So much fun just bringing tower blocks down and changing the layout of races and stuff. So yeah, I've been having a lot of fun just noodling about in that and just, you know, whiling away an hour or so. And then
I love a good arcade racer. And like, nobody makes them anymore apart from the Need for Speed franchise, and that series kind of sucks.
Yeah, I mean, Unbounded or whatever it was called wasn't too bad, but it's just had that awful. They always seem to do this really cheesy acting and kind of go down a really hammy route, and it.
That, I loved that. That was my favorite thing about it. When they did the one where it was like
wings behind the car and stuff.
Oh, the last one I played played the campaign of was like, it was literally, it was all FMV.
FMV, yeah.
And it was told from like first person perspective. You're like silent, like that fucking scene in Doom. Like,
Mad Dog McCree, but driving.
Yeah. But it was like you do some racing and then it becomes an FMV game for a while. And I was like, this is so stupid. I kind of like it.
But yeah, no, I do love an arcade racer. Like I say, I'll have a look at the new, the second version of the Hot Wheels game. I haven't played that yet. That was decent.
This is the thing. It's like the only arena where this stuff exists anymore now is like AA and Indie. They're the only people where you're still making, outside of Need for Speed, that are still making arcade races. Whereas like once upon a time, you couldn't move for them.
No, exactly. Mm. Actually, that comes to another driving game that I've been playing, which is Circuit Superstars. Which is like a sort of top-down isometric sort of driving game. A bit like, I don't know if you remember, sort of Supercars 2 on the Amiga. But it's that kind of game. And it's proper time trials. And you go all the way through from sort of, you know, driving Fiat 500s all the way to Formula 1 cars and everything in between. But it's just proper arcadey and just really good fun. Very chibi, like, in the art style. But that's been brilliant. But they've had like people on. Apparently, they did like a Top Gear thing, and ended up having like Roman Grosjean and other Formula One drivers and stuff, like setting times that you've got to try and beat.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a wicked game. Really.
Did Roman Grosjean manage to complete a lap without crashing?
He must have done, because he's got a time on the leaderboard. He's got the top time on the leaderboard. But yeah, and that was that's been really good fun as well. So yeah, got quite into my driving games. What else did I buy? I bought I've had a hankering for a while for a golf game. So I picked up what's it called? The 2K23, whatever that is, the PGA 2K23 or whatever.
Oh yeah.
So the 2K version of golf as opposed to the EA version of golf.
Yeah. And, is the EA one still Rory McIlroy?
Yeah.
I think they got rid of it.
No.
I thought the last one
was the Masters, like the EA Masters or something, because they lost the. Did they not lose the PGA license, or they've got the PGA license and they lost Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy?
Oh, no, it hasn't been Tiger Woods for ages, not since he crashed his car. And
but it wasn't EA who got it. It was the guys. What was the game, the Golf Club or something? Like the indie one. They won the license to it, from what I understand.
Oh,
so
really?
They now make the official like games.
Yeah, I know there's been an EA Masters one come out. So that was the one I was looking at, and then I was sort of looking through what people recommended. It was like, no, this game from like 2023, the 2K game from 2023 came up, and actually, do you know what? It's perfect. It's exactly what I was looking for. It's got a great, obviously it does the whole stick thing of like pull the stick back, push the stick forward, but I wanted a decent three click kind of, you know, swing up, click, and then click it in the middle, and then it hits it.
Yep.
Your classic, right? But all the ones that I've been looking at, they all look really complicated and convoluted, and this one is just hold it down, circle gets bigger, once it hits the ring, the white ring on the outside, you let go, and then it does this like sort of swing on meter that literally spins round, so you've just got to hit it directly top and bottom, And then if you hit those three things, perfect shot, off it goes. And it's just been brilliant. Commentary's ace. Some really good courses. It turns out that like there's a course designer in there, so you can go and play other people's courses that they've invented. Nice. So that's been really cool. And then, yeah, like the whole My Career mode. And, yeah, I've just been having great fun just sitting there. That's the game I've been going back to most nights at the moment on the Steam Deck. It's just, yeah, having a few rounds of golf. And
So which game is that, sorry?
Let me look it up. Let me put it up because I'll get
is
the
it
proper
the
name for it.
PGA
when
Tour
Tiger
game.
Woods. Yeah.
PGA no, Tour 2K.
2K23. So it is. Yeah. PGA Tour 2K23.
Yeah, so that is the golf club. So the indie golf club game. Yeah. They did the golf club in 2014, the golf club 2 in 2017.
Right.
Then they had the golf club 2019 featuring PGA Tour, and then they got EA lost the official license and they gave it to them.
Right.
All right.
So that's
and they've got 2K publishing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's been brilliant. Been such a good game. Really enjoying it. Really enjoying it. And it was exactly what I wanted. So yeah, that's sort of ticked all the boxes on that one.
It's good to hear that they've like brought the complication back then again. Like, I haven't played a golf game in since whatever Tiger Woods it was on the Wii. Mario Golf I still play. But like I used to play the EA NHL games. Absolutely loved them. Right up until the PS2 period. Like I was still playing them on PS2. Didn't play for about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. Came back to try to play to one of them, and it was they'd made the game so complicated that the maneuvering the puck with the stick was mapped to like complicated inputs using the right stick. Instead of the button inputs and everything that I was used to. And there was no, I couldn't find a way to play. I couldn't find a way to like play it the old fashioned way, but I think they started to bring that stuff back now because like the last sports game I played was the last MLB The Show.
I was going to say, cause I got a new one out soon.
And you can tailor how complicated pretty much every aspect of that game is. You can make it incredibly involving for like pros that want like the ultimate control of everything they do, or for like dum-dums like me, then you can like put it on a really simple mode and just like you just move the stick up and down in a box to be like where in the box you it is, and then you just press the button at the right time to swing, and that's it. And that's about as complicated as I want it. I like that they're giving you the option to, you know, play a more simplified version of the game.
Yeah, still, you know, still be involved. Yeah. And feel like you're at your depth. Yeah, nice. No, it's great.
Yeah.
Great. So, yeah, no, thoroughly recommend those. And then last two are SteamWorld Heist.
Okay.
Which, obviously, been having a bit of a hankering again for tactics games. And thought, no, I'll give that a go because that'll work really well on the Steam Deck. And, yeah, that's a really good game. A lot of really the dialogue's ace. The writing in that is quality, and it's not challenged me too. I mean, I'm only a few levels in, but it's not challenged me so far. But it's just scratching that itch of kind of XCOM but 2D side scrolling. So loving that. And then got back into Crusader Kings 3 for a bit, just been kind of noodling around in that, and just trying to not like. Basically, just go back to an old save and then try things out and work out all the systems. Because when I played it before, I didn't really. It was pretty linear. Like, just do click on this, click on that, click on the other. Send an army over there. Right, that's it. And now I'm now King Brian of Ireland. I had a situation where I was the King of Ireland, but one of my vassals was. Basically owned all the counties, so essentially I just owned a tiny little patch of Ireland rather than all of it. So I've thought, right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to focus in on like taking this guy out or doing something with him so I can get fully control of Ireland and all its counties. So I ended up like imprisoning his son, then bringing his wife into my court, so she was part of my entourage, so I had control of basically all of his family, and then what was it? I'd set up a scheme to have him murdered on a hunt, but before I could murder him, he died of the plague. So that was like, happy days.
Yeah.
And then so I didn't get any kind of wasn't penalized for any of that. And then obviously because it was passed down to his son and he was imprisoned, I just had his son murdered and then just took all his titles because I was the next in line and that was it. I'm the king of Ireland fully, properly and everything.
Is that your hidden self, Chazzy? This is all coming out.
That's
now,
it. Yeah. Oh, the thing is with that game, it's just like you have to do the most
fucking
awful.
Monster.
Yeah, you just have to do the most awful things to do anything or get anywhere. It's like marrying off your 40-year-old son to a 12-year-old girl so you can get 2,000 more people for an army.
Yeah,
it's just wrong. But yeah, it's
I played it for a bit, just doing like the tutorial stuff. And like I dug into it a little bit. I reached the point where I was like, it kind of took the training wheels off and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing here anymore.
That's where I got to. And that's why I'm now going back. And like that whole Spymaster thing, I'd not learned any of that system. So in doing that, I was kind of getting my head around it. And
but I do like that so for instance, something like a, Civ. You can kind of brute force your way into just declaring war on everyone.
Yeah.
And it's got like the casus belli system. But you can kind of brute force your way through it, like I said. Like, but in this it was a little bit more like you can't just do that. You can't just declare war on everyone. have to be a little bit more sneaky about it.
Yeah,
you
it's
have
very
to be like strategic,
and-
like
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's just like, oh, suddenly I've got more vassals than council seats, but every single one of them wants a council seat, so I guess somebody's getting sent off to fight the Crusades and hope they don't come home. It turns you into a monster, man.
Oh, it does. It does in a big way, and you just think, if I explained this to someone, they'd just think, you're hideous.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do.
It's the same thing that I found whenever I play, Tropico. I love the Tropico series, but every single time I've played that, I'm like, okay, do you know what? I'm going to start with the best intentions. I'm going to make a government. I'm going to make a system that is so perfect that people just vote for me. They just want me back. And then suddenly, there's rumblings and there's an opposition party and whatnot. And before I know it, I've got the secret police cracking down on all oppositions and I'm putting people in prison and I've suspended elections. And I've got tanks in the street, and they're like, what have I become?
And then someone dies of natural causes.
Yeah.
In inverted commas.
Yeah.
And you're happy as Larry.
Someone falls off their yacht in the Mediterranean.
That's it.
Yeah.
Nah, great.
Oh, love it.
Love
mate.
All that. But yeah, that's it. That's all I've been playing. But yeah, I've been having a good fun just like poking away at a lot of little smaller games. So yeah. Good fun this week.
Nick, tell me about Balatro.
Oh, my word. I don't know where to start.
Says that I'm literally playing it as we speak.
Balatro is a poker roguelike where effectively you have to beat blinds of opponents. So you have to score more points than a blind is worth, which is effectively what you do in poker, which, again... If anyone's listened to this and hasn't seen anything about Balatro, you think, well, it's just poker. How is that interesting or anything like a roguelike? Thing is, it's not the normal rules of poker. And you can change the rules of poker. It's the hand rules of poker, in like a two-pair, flush, straight, etc.
Well, but it's not the Texas Hold'em rules.
But you can change the rules and you can change your deck and your cards do different things. So you have a thing called Mult, which is a multiplier, so each type of hand is worth a certain amount of chips at the start of a run. So let's say a pair is worth 10, a two pair is worth 20, three of a kind is worth 30, four of a kind is worth 40, a straight's worth 50, so on. You get the picture. So again, goes up in normal poker hand ways, yeah? Does that make sense?
Yep.
Yeah.
But then you can buy booster packs which change those rules. So if you can buy planet packs which will will level up the pair. So the pair is now worth as much as a two pair is worth. And then if you level it up again, it's now worth a three of a kind. So suddenly the pair is better than a two pair. And you can get jokers as well, which change everything else. So a joker might give you an extra 50 chips if you play an ace, or it might give you a random amount of multiplier added on to every hand that you play.
Yeah. You have you've got two scores. You've got the chips, which is like a base number for the hand, but then it adds on the value of every card that scores in that. But then you've got your multiplier, and the jokers are either additive or multiplicative. Yep. So it'll be this joker will be for instance, I've got in here the walkie-talkie joker, 10-4. So if you play a 10 or a 4, it gives you plus 10 chips and plus 4 multiplier. Or there's the half joker, which is a joker card that's been ripped in half. And that one will give you plus 20 multiplier if you play a hand that contains 3 cards or less.
Yeah.
And those are your additive ones. But then you have the multiplicative ones. So you'll have there's one that's if you play the same hand, if you play a hand that you've already played in that round, so if you play a pair and then play another pair, it'll do times 3 of your multiplier. And so by stacking these additive and then multiplicative jokers, your scores can get absolutely fucking out of control.
Yeah, basically.
And they have to beat the game.
Yeah. Wow. So you do runs, which is beating different types of blinds, and each blind has a big boss, which is just numbers to beat, basically. And yeah, you've got to run and get to the end. So it's a roguelike in the fact you do runs, your deck changes, you buy cards, different cards as well. So let's say you've got the one I mentioned earlier, there's a joker that gives you extra chips whenever you play an ace. So you think, okay, I need more. I want to increase my chances of getting aces. So you can either buy more aces or turn other cards into aces and then level up those ace cards so they become mult cards and give you multipliers as well as chips. And
So
if every game that you finish, you then go into the shop that lets you buy a random selection of these jokers and booster packs and tarot cards as well. We haven't even gotten to tarot cards. Yeah. Fucking hell.
The tarot cards are crazy. I feel like I don't rely on them enough, but they do interesting things. For instance, there's one of the joker cards adds on plus 1 multiplier every time you play a hand without using a face card. So the more that you can play hands without using a face card, the more the multiplier just builds and builds and builds. So in that example, you don't want face cards popping up in your hand. It doesn't help you. So for instance, you can get a tarot card that's called the Tower, which you can use to turn any card into a stone card, which strips it of its, its hand, strips it of its suit and its numbers and everything like that. And it just becomes a stone card that just gives chips. It doesn't count towards your score. So then you can use those to get rid of your face cards. And then suddenly it's that's not a problem anymore. I'm not going to get any face cards. The way I properly started to understand how it works was watching Patrick Klepek and Ricardo from Remap Radio doing a run, and they managed to beat the game using only pairs.
Nice.
So no straights, no flushes, no full houses, just pairs. And they were just lucky, so they got a card that added plus 1 multiplier every time you used a hand that you've already used. And because they were only using pairs, it just kept on going up and up and up and up and up. They used a card which gave them plus 25 multiplier for playing 3 or less cards. They had one, the one which was if you play a hand twice in a round, then it gives you times 3 multiplier. They had some other crazy cards as well, some crazy jokers, and then they were just like, they managed to pick up like a crazy arcane card, which turned like 15 cards into just 7 of clubs. So then suddenly it's like every single hand, they just had a bunch of sevens, and it was just like the game, but just by the luck of the draw, the game became trivial.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It's like any good roguelike. It's like if you have the luck of the draw and you pick the right perks, like, you know, like a you know, a good run through Hades.
Yeah. And but
it's
also
like getting the right perks.
It's same as Hades, which in my opinion all good roguelikes are like.
Yeah.
You know, within a couple of minutes whether it's going to be a good run.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just how many times have you abandoned? Things... You've just been like, just hit escape,
abandoned ship. Yeah.
New run.
Oh, so many times. Yeah. Yeah. But it's just like you're just not feeling it, so you go back to the beginning and try again, and yeah, it's all good.
Yeah.
But no, like genuinely, I made a joke that earlier on, I think it's before even Mark, you picked this up. I said that I got Balatro, and I think it might have been Adam asked how it was, and I said it's the only game that has made poker. What did I say now? It's the only game that has made poker interesting to me without added nudity.
Yeah.
And it's basically I don't really get poker. Like, I know the game is in the bluffing and shit like that, but I ain't got time for that. Mm. I just want to see my numbers go up. And yeah.
Sounds like it's like part cookie clicker, part card game in a kind of weird way, because you're just, you know, clicking numbers go up. I beat the number goes up again, but then you've also got a way of changing the meta on everything to make the numbers go even higher. Is that kind of
I wouldn't say it's like cookie clicker. I mean, no, when we say numbers go up, it's like you're literally, you've got cards and you've got to pick,
right.
You've got to play hands. So you build your runs.
You're beating a health pool as opposed to a just constantly rising number from level to level.
Well, every time, every hand, every game you're playing, every blind, every boss, there's a bigger blind that you have to beat. Oh, and the bosses, you play like a small blind, big blind, then you play a boss, and the boss will have like a debuff. So it'll be like
all hearts which are debuffed.
Means, yeah,
for example.
All cards gotcha. That you have played this round are debuffed, or you must play 5 cards, or the killer, if you're playing a like one hand thing, it's like you can't use the same hand. Can't play the same hand twice.
Or, right, you know, okay.
Whatever.
Right.
That can like throw a real wrinkle in. But oh man.
See, both of you are just like itching
fucking,
to play it already.
It's fucking dangerous. Like yeah. It's I first night I got it, I think I was up until like 1:30 in the morning. without even realizing. Just time just disappeared.
Yeah. Seeing it in your sleep game.
I hear the music in my head when I'm just wandering around the house. Like,
amazing.
I hear the music. It's dangerous.
I
like the it's really cool. The presentation is like a poker video machine in a casino.
Go ahead.
It's like a CRT screen with scan lines and everything on it. And this like repetitive piece of music playing, but it's not annoying at all. It's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Real good. And if you shop about at the moment, it's like £8 or something like that if you buy a key from like CD keys or whatever.
Absolute ridiculous value. The only thing I was going to add as well is I don't normally do shit like this, but I dreamt about it the other night.
Oh, no.
Like genuinely, like I'm not one of those people that has dreams, really.
The Tetris dreams.
The
Tetris
effect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely crazy game. But it's just so casual as well. Like you can just literally, especially with Steam Deck, I just pick my Steam Deck up and do a run every now and then.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's
dangerous.
It's great. It's very dangerous.
Yeah, it's by a single guy, isn't it? Single developer.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think I read a review about it. It is by one single developer.
It is made by Local Thunk. Oh, yeah, no, sorry, you're right. I did see one person develop a Local Thunk based in Canada. Yeah, I did see, because like, people were trying to guess, like, you know, developers sometimes, like, they love to insert themselves into the games.
Yeah.
And the people on the subreddit were trying to work out which one of the Jokers was based on Local Thunk. it's real good. There is a news story about this, though, actually.
I thought it was interesting as well. He did an interview. Apparently, he doesn't play poker. He's not into poker. He just made a game about poker, because why not?
Why not?
And yeah, it's sold 500,000 copies.
In just 10 days, 500,000 copies across all.
500,000 copies. It's insane. But,
This is from the news story from Kotaku. It's like talking about the 500,000 units. This is an impressive number for a relatively small game from a small publisher about shuffling around cards to make poker hands. But it's even more impressive when you remember that for the last few days, the game has not been available from the Switch eShop in Europe.
Yeah.
It's because the game's PEGI rating changed overnight, surprising the publisher and leading to the game being removed from digital stores. PlayStack is continuing to work to get Tabalatro back on the eShop in countries like Germany and the UK. I think the PEGI rating was changed because people thought it was a gambling game.
Gambling, yeah.
They thought it was actual money. Yeah.
But you can still get hold of countless games that are full of literal gambling in loot boxes and, you know, other sort of blind boxes and shit like that. This doesn't have anything like that. It's a, you know, pay once video game. No market.
Because it's based on video poker in casinos. It's based
on a, like, the design looks like a, video poker machine. But man, it's fucking good. Like, I really, really, really recommend it. But at the same time, just be warned that once it gets its hooks into you, it's dangerous.
Yeah.
It's very dangerous. I've played... how much have I played of this already? I'm not going to say that number.
Come on. Reveal it. No. Reveal it.
22 hours.
Wow. And you bought it when?
Yesterday.
I want to say you bought it three or 4 days ago.
Yeah.
I bought it... Now, some of that time might be because I did leave it running in the background.
This is Mark trying to
that only explains like maybe six of those hours. So the other 12. 15 or so.
Oh no, yeah, 15, yeah.
Sorry, I have absolutely
18.
The rest of that I have absolutely no excuse for.
Nope.
Lovely.
But man, yeah, it's real good. It's real good. Yeah.
I do want to talk as well. I think last episode I talked about a little demo that I played of a game called Pacific Drive.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I bought the real game. Oh my god, it's so good. It's great. It's really good.
Yeah, you sent me the Tim Robinson, I think you should leave sketch of him in the car being like, I don't know what any of this shit is and I'm scared.
Yeah, that is basically it. When you start getting into it, I'm not going to talk over the same ground that I did last week, but basically once you get in the zone, like the places, the maps you go and the roads, what are they called now? I can't remember what they're called. Fuck. The weird shit that happens gets weirder and weirder and scarier and scarier. And yeah, there's one to extract from the map. You've got to like go to a place and take some plasma ball and put it in your car. A bit like, you know, the DeLorean in Back to the Future, okay, where you have to power it with, well, I guess, you know, 2.4 gigawatts or whatever, gigawatts. Yeah, you have to, like, grab these orbs, put them in your car, and then they power up to get you extracted from the zone. But that opens a rift in the zone, and you have to drive into the rift, which is just like this massive, looks like hell death ray. And you have to, but when once you open the rift up, all the anomalies, there are more anomalies, and they come for you more. So you have to, like, you're just driving full pelt towards this death ray to extract. Okay. And yeah, it's cool, it's great. Also, I found out that what's his name now? So I thought that the writing in it was pretty good, and also I thought that it was quite British sense of humor, which I thought was a bit weird because it's like an either American or Canadian game studio. But apparently, the writer, or the main writer of the game, is British, which makes a lot more sense. And actually, I know him quite well, because I know him quite well, as in, like, I've consumed his content before, because he is Paul Dean, who used to be a founding member of Shut Up and Sit Down, who do board game YouTube reviews and stuff. Paul Dean, who's in a lot of their old stuff, he is the main writer on it. So that explained it. When I found that out, I was like,
I know that tone of voice. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So yeah, that's an extra added bonus, I suppose.
Nice.
But yeah, I highly recommend it. Yeah, great game. There's too many good games at the minute.
A lot of good games.
There is. So many games, so little time.
Isn't that the usual problem?
It's even more this time. By this time in a year, usually there's been like one solid game, or maybe two.
A couple of days of being amazed that Capcom had decided to release one game in February.
Yeah.
It was like the only decent game for like 4 months. You know, and now it seems to be like February, March is just Game Central at the moment. It's just there.
In like a week or two, Dragon's Dogma 2 comes out. I haven't had a chance to think about.
Well, apparently it's got a lot of frame rate issues, apparently, from what watching on Digital Foundry.
Okay. I've only seen the video of Austin Walker playing it and getting super hyped about it. And I haven't had a chance to play Infinite Wealth.
Ghost of
Tsushima is coming out soon, and fuck knows what else is coming out. Isn't that game that we were looking forward to? Thank God You're Here, or whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know.
Year, right?
It's meant to be at some point.
It's like Barnsley or something, and it's all just very northern. And
thank goodness you're here.
That's
thank
the
goodness
one,
you're
yeah.
here, yeah.
That still doesn't have a release date, which I'm kind of happy about, to be honest.
Like you say,
it's 2024. Yeah, sometime. If you can make it December or November, that'd be great. But yeah,
that's awesome.
And I mean, speaking of other games,
flipping
Helldivers.
We played some more last night. Jumped on and we jumped into a random match, like, just, you know, matchmaking, and we got dumped into one of the planets that looks like the what's the Hideo Kojima courier game?
Death Stranding, the kind of Icelandic mountainous region.
Yeah, I like that. But like that, but with fucking trench warfare.
It was very Star Wars.
Yeah, they were already like mid fight against the robots, and it was a very hot drop. I didn't have a chance to like call in any good weaponry or anything like that, because you were immediately under fire. Scrambling around, like throwing grenades into the exhaust vents on the fabrication units to stop them spawning. While there's like drop ships coming in, and I was shooting down as many as I could with a rocket launcher, but there's always more than you can deal with. And then we did a couple of missions with friend of the show, Mike. He wasn't on comms, but he was like, you know, tagging stuff and responding to tags and whatnot. We did a mission with him and a random guy on the bug planet, which went all kinds of wrong.
My God.
In a lot of places. It was one of the missions to hunt down a Bile Titan. And I'd seen them, but I hadn't fought one before. And fucking hell, that was...
That's scary, that was,
you just see it, like, stand up in the distance. It's like the size of the fucking building. Yeah, and spewing like a jet of like acid at you. Three people got wiped out. Like you guys, like ran in and just started throwing stratagems at it, and it just threw up on you and like wiped three people off. And I was like running away desperately, dropping like calling in reinforcements to pull them back in, but the weapon that supposedly like was the go-to for getting rid of them, the railgun, has been slightly nerfed. It's still really good if you overcharge it and fire it before it explodes in your hands. But it's not as easy to use as it was. And so we were just like chucking stratagems at it, and like felt good when it went down. But then we had a handful of like optional objectives to do, and then had to get back to the extraction point. And we kept on getting split up. Like Mike messaged me this morning about it, and he was saying, what did he say? It was very funny. He just messaged me and said, like, what a fucking game, man. There was a moment last night where we all got separated and me and the random were being swarmed. We started doing full-blown fire and maneuver tactics. It was incredible. Like it's when that game is like chaotic and like at its most chaotic and most frantic, it's unlike anything else out there. It's so good. Like I don't want to go back to play the lower difficulties now, because it's just like the harder it is, the more fun it is.
More random stuff appears.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny when, like, you know, shit's going wrong. Like, someone pulls out one of the stratagem balls to throw, like, an airstrike, and then they get shot, so they drop it. So the airstrike lands at their feet, and they're just, like, panicking and running and, like, diving behind rocks so you don't get killed by your own airstrike. And, oh, man. It's fucking good.
Have you seen a call for everyone to defend Teen Quan, where the factories are, so they can release the mech exosuit.
Yeah, so the vehicles that were in Helldivers 1, the mech suits and the APCs, they've been like stealth dropping those into people's games at random, to like test them. So it's like it's a really fun way. It's like instead of having like your QA team at your studio test these units out, why don't we just like drop them in random people's games and see how they get on with them? Which is like, not only do they get like data and like help balance those out before they drop them to the general public
as well.
Yeah, but it also provides like these moments, clips, like people posting TikToks of like, oh my god, the mech drops into my game and it's incredible. So people start getting excited about it again, and like there's new weapons dropping in and whatnot, and they've started teasing through things that are happening in the levels and like the news reports and stuff like that, that we're getting a third faction that's joining as well. So they're doing a really good job of like,
oh, the live support,
ripping stuff in. Yeah, this is live support done right.
Yeah.
If
they don't, so,
like,
win
when
awards
they say
for this,
like, if well, there's a new front opening up, like we need your help, come and fight on this front, and whatnot, then like suddenly people get all excited about it again. And sorry, Nick, what were you going to say?
I'm going to say it's live support done right. If you ignore some of the random devs trolling on Reddit.
So the yeah, it's been a bit funny. So there's been a big patch that dropped with some fixes, but also some balance changes. And the meta build, the breaker shotgun, railgun, and shield generator pack have all been nerfed because that's all anyone was using.
Yep.
The nerf has come with buffs to some weapons, but you know, some would say not enough. I personally don't mind because I think all the stuff is fun to use. Yeah. But yeah. The CEO himself was posting about it, and he said, like, he makes no apologies for the fact that the devs are encouraged to engage with the community, and sometimes that's, you know, sometimes that'll come across as being a little bit arrogant, maybe, I don't know. They are Swedish; it's a different culture to start with, but. Yeah, I think there's some people feel like the devs are being a little bit trolling and like the taunting people for the fact that their favorite toys have been slightly nerfed.
Yeah, some like the one that I was referring to in particular literally said "get good."
Oh. Yeah,
which is a bit. We kind of passed that, guys.
But also, maybe they should get good.
Maybe, I mean, yeah, instead of whining, my railgun doesn't work anymore, just try something else, honestly.
Exactly, yeah.
It's all fun. Ooh. Who cares?
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it's just every experience I've had with that so far, it's just been so much fun and so hilarious. Mm-hmm. You know, just want to keep coming back and back and back. So yeah, can't wait to get in again soon.
It's been great.
Yeah, man.
I'm so pleased that it's doing well. Long may it continue. I still get, also, like, I've put, how many hours have I put into that game now? This is going to be an embarrassing number as well that I don't want to mention.
I don't think you're that bad. I think you're about a day.
Yeah. 39.1 hours.
Oh, maybe not.
That's been out longer. That's been out longer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what the fuck else? I'm not going to go outside. Apart from to walk the dog, what the fuck am I going to do out there? It's miserable.
That's weird. My Steam says you've only put 27.1 hours in.
Oh, it says 39.1 here.
Yeah, there's a slash. 27.1 / 39.1. What does that mean?
I don't know. I wonder how many hours of that was sat in the login screen.
Maybe that's what it is. That's what it is.
Maybe I spent 10 hours trying to play the game and not being able to because the servers were shit in the bed. But oh man. Yeah, I love it. And I still every time you we jump into the hell pods and that like that theme plays is there. Yeah, man, it gets me hype every single time.
Yeah. 27.1 is the last 2 weeks.
Okay.
39 is overall.
Fair enough. Yeah, you do have to bear in mind that I've been off work as well.
Yeah.
So I haven't really had anything else to do, to be honest, during the day. Zoe's got the car, and I live in a very small town, so it's not like I've got lots to go and do, unless I get on the one bus we get a week. Yeah, hell, everybody, it's amazing. It's still like, I tell you what, I did play. I played a couple of hours of Pal World because I was curious.
Okay.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. It's one of those survival games. Clunky. Not really been, well, yeah, didn't feel particularly kind of clunky, really. It's surprisingly polished. Mm. It's just that sort of survival game's never really been my bag. So,
no.
If I was ever going to play one, it would probably be this. I've tried others and bounced off them immediately, and this one seems like I could probably get into it if there wasn't other stuff to play.
Yeah,
it's so I can see why there were like 2 million people playing it once on Steam when it dropped. but it's just a genre that doesn't particularly interest me, really. So I've played. I at least I have played both of the breakout.
The big games of this year.
The big games of this year so far. Like, yeah. Both of them small productions by AA Studios. Only one of them, well, no, actually, I guess both of them shamelessly ripping off other people's IP.
In different ways.
In different ways. One of them feels like an homage. The other one feels like, just blatant theft. But Pokemon stole all their designs from Dragon Quest anyway.
Dragon Quest, exactly.
Yeah, that's about all I've been playing.
Nice.
Anyone got any other business?
No.
Nope.
No.
No business from me.
Okay. All right. Let's wrap this up then. Look out for the next episode because it'll be our 250th episode and it's going to be a special one.
250.
We've done more than 250 episodes.
Yeah.
I think there were like three episode 200s.
I remember the first meeting that we all had setting up the, you know, how we were going to do this, and it was a completely
back in like 2016, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember 4-hour episodes? Do you remember 4-hour episodes?
Yeah, it was ridiculous because we were going to do it as like a magazine show. So everyone would just like create their own features and we'd stitch it together, and that just didn't work.
No.
But
who has the time?
But something came out at the back end of it that was even better.
Really, we should get back to Kentucky Route Zero. We keep saying that. We should.
The longest game club in history.
Yeah, 250 episodes ago we started it.
Yep.
I mean, in fairness, the dev did take a while to finish it.
He did.
Yeah. It has been out a little while though.
Yeah,
I'm a true.
Brilliant. Right then.
Gonna wrap this up, Mark.
I'll find it.
Mark's
frozen. I'll get it played at some point. Of course, it's
going
to need to play in the meantime as well.
Oh no!
Oh, I like the faceless X.
What we should
can't
we
end
do?
It. We can't end it.
We've lost.
We no.
Dad's gone.
Uh oh.
Oh,
he's gone back. Eyes back.
Back.
Thank God.
Back. Yeah, he only went to the off license. It's fine.
He's not back, guys.
He's not back. He's playing Beltro, is it?
He's sent me back.
Don't
lose the recording.
No.
Shall I end it? Imagine if there was like... Imagine though, if the podcast started with Mark hosting, and him.
Has this called shit the bed? Yes.
I was going to say, no, it's just you.
No, we're all right.
Well, it is just him, because us three are fine.
Yeah.
Nah. There you go.
No, it's trying.
Yeah.
He's gone.
Burda.
Right, quick. Emergency mini episode.
What should we do?
What
does Mark hate?
Hates. Horror games.
Horror games, yeah.
All right, I'm back.
Shit.
Let's wrap this up.
We can't talk about horror games.
Do it. Go.
Clap test.
I'm still recording.
No, whoa. We're still recording, don't worry. I was joking.
Good. Alright. Alright, yeah. Look forward to the next episode. It'll be a special one. Until next time, gentlemen, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, dear listener.
Thank you.
And see you in a few weeks' time. Ta-ra!
Cheers,
bye.
Bye.